Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you this evening in awe of the work you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for sending a Savior to redeem us from our sins. Our sins condemned us before you, but Jesus has taken our sin upon himself and freed us from our sins. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, guide us as we look at your word and prepare us for the Lord's Supper. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's passage is actually Matthew 27, 45 through 54. So please turn to Matthew 27, and I'll read verses 45 through 54. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father was for Jesus to die for sins. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, before he laid down his life, spent 3 years teaching and performing miracles. He taught the gospel message. He healed the sick and the lame. He raised the dead. He cast out demons in the name of the Father and performed many other miracles. The teaching and the miracles that Jesus performed prove that he was the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God, and his life proved that he was, and his word proved that he was the Son of God. Jesus came voluntarily to die for our sins. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. Jesus didn't come to be made king of Israel, as the Jews thought he would. The Jews didn't feel their need for a Savior, because they had the law, and they felt they were justified in God's sight. But we need a Savior, and that is why Jesus came. Jesus came to save us from our sins. To be saved from our sins means that we are forgiven, and if forgiven, we are reconciled to God. Our works cannot make us acceptable to God, Our works condemn us before God. Jesus came to reconcile us before God. So the will of the Father was for Jesus to die for sins. Jesus came to die the humiliating death of the cross. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus was without sin, yet he was made sin for us. Matthew 27:35 says, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." Jesus was crucified. To be crucified means to be hung on a cross to die. That was the cruelest execution they could think of at the time. It was also the most humiliating death. Jesus was also scourged before he was crucified. This too is a very painful punishment. Jesus had been beaten severely. His appearance was so marred that he could barely be recognized as a man. Isaiah 52:14, "His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." The cruel treatment that Jesus had had has caused some to pity Christ or to say, "What an injustice." Yet that is not to be our response. Our response should be one of thankfulness, one of gratefulness. Isaiah 53:5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, when Jesus was on the cross, God poured out his fury on him. God poured out his fury on his only Son, our Savior. God was not furious with Jesus. He loves Jesus. God was furious with our sin. However, since Jesus volunteered to take our sin upon him, God poured out his wrath on Jesus. The wrath that was meant for us was poured out on Jesus. God loved us so much that he didn't spare his only Son. Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." God loved us so much that he allowed his Son to become sin for us. This meant that God forsook Jesus. Of all that Jesus suffered, being forsaken of God gave him the most pain. Jesus had always had the closest fellowship with the Father, and this was the first time he hadn't. Thus, being forsaken by the Father resulted in much grief by Jesus. The period of darkness coincided with the time that Jesus bore our sins. The 3-hour period of darkness occurred during the middle of the day. The 6th hour is what we call noon, and the 9th hour is 3:00 in the afternoon. So the darkness occurred during midday. The period of darkness was a testimony of the suffering of Jesus. The darkness was a testimony that Jesus was not a mere man. The darkness was a sign of the darkness of men's heart who wanted the Savior dead. Now at the end of the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus came in obedience to the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was for Jesus to come and die for sins. Because Jesus came to die for our sins, that meant he had to become sin. In order for Jesus to become sin, the Father had to forsake him. When the Father forsook Jesus, he drew away from Jesus. The abandonment of the Father was new to Jesus, because Jesus at all other times had had the closest fellowship with the Father. But at the time Jesus was taking our punishment, the Father forsook him so that he could take on sin. Jesus felt the Father draw away from him. It was the first time he would ever feel that, and it was the only time he would ever feel that. So God forsook Jesus so that he could take sin's punishment upon him. Some of the people there said that he was calling for Elijah to come and take him down from the cross and save him. But there's a reason Jesus wasn't calling for Elijah to take him down from the cross. Jesus didn't come to do part of the Father's will. He came to do all of it. He came to do the Father's will in total. He came to die for sins. And if anybody had come to rescue him, he would have rebuked them, because Jesus came to die for sins. He came to die the death of the cross. If he didn't come to die the death of the cross, he never could have been captured. Matthew 26:50-54. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? When Judas came with a multitude to take him, had it not been the will of the Father for Jesus to die on the cross, Jesus would have called the Father for help. But Jesus came to die for sins. Jesus laid down his life willingly in obedience to the Father. It was this humiliating death that was planned all along. There was a plan of salvation, and it worked exactly as the Father had designed it to work. Jesus cried again, and then yielded up the ghost. Jesus had been scourged and crucified. The wounds that Jesus had received left him so marred that he could barely be recognized as a man. Were that just a man, he may have been barely alive or even dead. But Jesus was and is the Son of God, and it is impossible to kill him. If it was not God's will, they could not have laid one stripe on Jesus. But it was the Father's will for Jesus to come and be crucified. This was exactly the way the Father planned it. So Jesus went through this cruelty, but he was not dying from it. When he cried with a loud voice. Anyone besides Jesus having undergone such torture wouldn't have had a loud voice, but merely a whisper. Jesus cried with a loud voice, and it showed that he was very much alive. Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. In John 19:30, the parallel verse to this, it says, When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus knew that all things were accomplished. Jesus did everything that the Father sent him to do. He did not sin, even though he was tempted by the devil. He taught the way to salvation. He performed many miracles. He proved that he was the Son of God. He did it through his perfect life and his teaching and the miracles which he performed. Jesus did everything he was sent to do. Most importantly, Jesus laid down his life for us. He laid his life down for us voluntarily. He came as a substitute for us. He was our scapegoat and took our sin upon him. When he said, "It is finished," everything necessary for salvation was complete. Jesus had borne our sin. When Jesus died, he did not die from the effects of crucifixion. He was still very much alive. He was still very much alive until he yielded up the ghost. It was only when he dismissed his life that he died. He commanded the end of his life. Jesus was in control of his death. When it was time for Jesus to die, he yielded up the ghost. Because Jesus has no sin, he never would have died. It would have been impossible for him to die, except because he died for us in our place, he gave up his life. When Jesus fully bore our sin, he died. He did it in obedience to the Father. He didn't have to bear our sin. He did it willingly. Jesus' death was not an unnoticed death. The darkness was the first obvious sign to people to notice that something extraordinary was happening. Then, when Jesus yielded up the ghost, the veil of the temple tore from top to bottom. There was an epic earthquake. Giant boulders split apart. Graves opened, and saints that were asleep arose. People all over the region knew that something extraordinary had happened. Jesus' death was not a death of weakness, as normal human death is. Normal death in a human comes as the body can no longer go on. The opposite was true in Jesus' case. When Jesus died, he could have gone on, but he was in charge of his death. He was in control of his death, and it didn't come a moment sooner or later than the plan of the Father called for. Once again, Jesus gave proof that he was the Son of God in his death. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. If we go back to Genesis, before the fall of man, God used to talk to Adam. He used to show himself to Adam daily. But after the fall, man was in sin. Man could no longer look upon God's face. It would have killed him to do so. Until the second Adam, Jesus, came to right the wrong done by the first Adam, man could not have a close relationship with God. Only the high priest could come into the presence of God once a year. The rending of the veil signified that Christ, through his death, opened up a way to God. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. The centurion and many soldiers who were watching Jesus and the other malefactors, they had seen the 3-hour period of darkness. They had seen the earthquake and the rocks break and the other things. These Roman soldiers were not fearful men. These Roman soldiers were not easily impressed, but an impression had surely been made on them. They feared greatly and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So the death of Jesus was a death that in itself testified that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. Jesus had already proved that he was the Son of God in his life, and he proved it again in his death. People don't want to believe it. It is sin that causes people to have a hardened heart to the things of God. The hardness of their heart causes them to reject God even when obvious proof is in front of them. But God gives the gift of faith to whom he will. Through faith in Jesus, we can be saved. Jesus Christ has taken our sin upon him. And now we are free from sin if we believe in Jesus. This is the best news that has ever been told. We do not have to die for our sins, because there is an answer for our sins. That answer is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God in earthly form. He was not just a man. He proved that he was God. And because he laid down his life and took our sin upon him, we may live. After 3 days, Jesus arose from the dead, and he is now sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus will come to earth once more, but he will never come to die again. He died once. His sacrifice is an eternal sacrifice, and no other sacrifices are ever necessary. Belief is the only thing that's required for salvation. His righteousness is imputed on us if we believe. We are acceptable to God because Jesus' righteousness is imputed upon us. The gift of Jesus is a free gift. There is no work required. The only thing required is belief. And this the Father gives us. Salvation may not be earned or merited. It is only a gift from God. We know that God will not turn anybody away that truly believes in Jesus. The good news of Jesus should really change our lives. We ought to be living for him instead of living for ourselves. And we ought to tell anybody that will listen the good news of Jesus Christ. Our lives ought to show anyone who looks at us that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and never hide our belief in Jesus under a bushel. Jesus came and proved that he was the Son of God, and preached forgiveness of sins through himself. And Jesus died so that we may live. Even those that lived before Jesus' time, it was their belief in Jesus that saved them. It was the death of Jesus that saved them, not in the keeping of the law. It was their belief in Jesus that saved them, and it's the same today. Belief in Jesus is what saves us. Through belief in Jesus Christ, all may be saved. However, salvation is not for those who don't believe in Jesus. Anyone that rejects Jesus cannot be saved. They will be condemned, and it is a very dangerous thing to be condemned by the Father. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Morality is commendable, but only if it comes from a heart that belongs to the Lord. Moral people who are depending on their own morality will not live, because they are considered to be evil. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, So the only way to be acceptable in the Father's sight is to accept Jesus' sacrifice. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Belief in Jesus is all that is required, and God gives this to us. Apart from the death of Jesus, there is no salvation. Jesus paid it all when he died on the cross. And all that is required is that we believe on him. Good works cannot save us. Attempting to please God apart from faith in Christ will fail. Good works are no more acceptable to God than bad works. Unless we are depending in the death of Jesus, we cannot be saved. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. Everything we need to know about Jesus is in the Bible. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. We are no longer separated from God. We may have a relationship with God because Jesus has taken away our sin. Our sin kept us from God, but our sin has been dealt with. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come and has laid down his life to save us from sin. He paid the price of our sins. The price of our sins was so high that only God could pay it. Jesus is coming back a second time, and he will judge the world. All that are not found in Jesus will be judged. There is not much time. He may come this moment or the next. The only way to be sure is to believe on him now. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Thank you for bruising your Son in order that our iniquities may be covered. I pray that you will grant us even greater faith in the future. You have said there is no peace to the wicked. Lord, let our faith be in thee. Cause us to live in a way that glorifies thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.